We're talking today with Oklahoma 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, let's talk about a couple of things going on right now in the world of agriculture, especially. I know that you've looked with a lot, great deal of interest at some of these measures that have come down the pike, and there's one that's got several pieces within it, the so-called Grassley-Fisher Compromise Bill. Tell me, what are your thoughts about this bill that has to do a great deal with price discovery and competition?
First of all, as we speak, while I've seen some what appear to be section-by-section breakdowns, I don't believe an actual bill has been filed in the United States Senate yet. I almost want to describe it as the great compromise between the Northerners, because your lead people are a senator from Iowa, a senator from Nebraska, joined in with a senator from Montana and a senator from Oregon, and they're two folks who I think will be the House sponsors, one's from Iowa and one's from Michigan. So it's the great Northern Compromise amongst the Northerners. We'll see when they get a bill filed. The basic grist of the language is to do something they do in Iowa. And again, we'll see the final bill, but Senator Grassley, of Iowa's original proposal that dealt with requiring packers to purchase 50% of their daily kill through the spot markets. We'll see what they wind up with in their internal compromise among themselves, but it shows, Ron, how important this issue is and how much pressure my fellow cattle producers are under back home and across the country price-wise. But it's a part of the process going on. You and I have discussed before the Cattle Contract Library Act, trying to create a repository with more information for producers to look at. You and I have also discussed what I consider to be the real underlying issue here and why I don't expect much to happen legislatively until the Department of Justice issues the long-awaited, causing me great angst waiting for the results, their investigation under several existing statutes under the Anti-Monopoly and Antitrust Act, some of which go back 120-plus years ago. That's the real key thing here. And right now we're waiting on justice to decide whether there have been criminal violations, whether there have been violations of the Act on monopolies or concentration, and for action to come from that.
When you start, you know, looking at the things that we do know about this particular, as you call it, compromise from the North, Deb Fisher was wanting like a 35% mandated spot market. Senator Grassley, 50% of the spot market is what he was shooting for. They've removed those numbers and they're work back to some sort of a rolling average of actual marketings, and they're leaving a lot of discretion up, looks like, to the USDA secretary and the chief economist.
You're absolutely right, and that was the way they achieved their compromise amongst themselves, was basically to drop the responsibility for those determinations and implementing it in USDA's lap. While I have great faith in the Secretary of Agriculture, and I've generally been very fond of most of the secretaries I've served under or lived with as a farmer in my lifetime, that's a lot of authority and that's a lot of responsibility and that's a lot of interpretation coming out of the Secretary's office in D.C., and as is the case of any executive branch officer, it kind of depends on where they come from, what their background is, and what the White House is telling them to do. So, again, I'm a little nervous about that, but that seems to be how they've created enough of a variation on their individual proposals to try and move forward. But as we speak, while I've seen some proposed breakdowns, I've still not seen a filed bill yet. So the proof is always in the ink on the paper, and that is waiting to be seen.
I guess what there needs to be some sort of analysis of what the overall cost is, impact on economically on the industry, I would think, and like before we would get too much further down the road.
I would agree. And again, the 12-ton political gorilla out there is that Justice Department investigation into the packer industry. I still believe it will be hard, and especially the last 11 or 12 legislative days that we have for 2021, I still believe it'll be hard to move a major piece of legislation until Justice does their report, which I would prefer to be sooner than later. And depending on how they, what they report, it may change the whole entire topic completely. The question may no longer be who reports what. It may be how many Packers do we have? How have they potentially operated contrary to existing federal law? And what's the response going to be? So it just, we just have to hold our breath and be patient just a little bit longer to see where we're going for real.
If there has been any illegal type of things or questionable type things going on and they do identify those, I guess that is more of a call to action to Congress than anything else is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely, Ron. Under existing federal law, if they prove monopolies have been formed, if they prove that the provisions of existing federal law have been violated, there's criminal penalties for the management of companies that do that. There's also the right under the existing laws for the Treasury, for the Justice Department to go to federal court and break up industries. In our lifetime, there used to be something called Mall Bell, Bell Telephone, and in 1982, they broke it up. Justice went to federal court, got it ruled a monopoly, and they broke it up into seven different phone companies. Even at the turn of the previous century, there was a fellow named John D. Rockefeller who controlled virtually all of the oil business in the United States under something called Standard Oil, and it became at least six little oil companies after Justice broke them up. So they have the ability to turn the industry inside out if existing federal laws have been violated. Now, the other side of this equation is, what if Justice comes back to us and says, we see there's problems, we see there's collusion, but we can't, under existing federal law, we can't prosecute, can't take action against the industry. If indeed that's the case, then I would insist that Justice tell us what the deficiencies of existing law are, and we'll fix that. If they identify problems, but they're just not quite problems they can legally go after, then tell us where the deficiencies of the law are. We need to fix that too. So, again, I'm holding my breath. I'm waiting to see what happens. I think something is going to happen. But as I always remind my folks back home, bear in mind this system we have now, which worries me about the concentration levels, is also the most efficient meat processing system in the world. Mm-hmm. We break that up, be prepared for what the world will be like if you have six packers or eight packers or 10 packers. Just be prepared for a new world to deal with. Yeah. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
The world that we're dealing with right at the moment, Congressman, is starting, it looks like it's supply demand seems to be starting to happen. And I mean, we've gotten substantially higher prices in recent days on the fat market. The feeder and stocker markets are feeling that positive pressure, and they've really shot up as well. I mean, you know, some folks have contended that this has been a pandemic problem, a Holcomb, Kansas problem, and we're finally working our way through. I guess you know, you're probably going to be hearing that story as well from a lot of your constituents.
You're exactly right, and I would agree with many of those assertions, but I would also remind my neighbors back home, if there are fundamental problems in the industry that are identified by the Justice Department, just because prices get better doesn't mean that those fundamental problems can be ignored. They still have to be addressed. So even if prices get better, we still have to continue to be focused on the issues, because the cattle business is cyclical. Any of us who've been in it for a long time, it may not be the old traditional 12-year cycle that was an issue when I was a teenager or a 20-some-year-old, but there's still cycles, and we have to make decisions, even in the better times, to be prepared for the bad times, because they will come back around again, too. It's like the weather in Oklahoma. It will rain, and then there'll be times when it won't rain at all for a long time. We have to be prepared.
Indeed. One other thing, Congressman, I know that just in the last couple of days, you've teamed up with one of your colleagues from Kansas to deal or try to address some of these supply chain worries that we've got right now through some legislation. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. The goal is, with a Congressman Mann's Transportation Act, is to try and ease the bottleneck pressure on supply chains and help our economies and businesses return to normal, whatever the new normal is going to be. The Transportation Act would require the Secretary of Transportation to issue federal grants from unused relief dollars, let's not take new money out of the Treasury, let's take money that's not been spent, to motor carriers to help improve the transportation of goods at ports and destination points. I mean, right now we've got a bottleneck at San Diego, we've got a bottleneck at Galveston, I should say the Port of Houston, we've got bottlenecks up and down the East Coast. Use those dollars to help improve the ability to load and unload. And it's not just manufactured goods coming into the country. It's our processed products, agriculture and bulk, going out. Agriculture, since the beginning of the country, has been an export driver for this country, a cash generator around the world. And this supply chain stuff, I'm not sure what real commodity prices would be now if we could move our products in an orderly way, in and out of the country, primarily out of the country. So Congressman Mann and I are attempting to make sure we can clean up those choke points on the transportation network and get stuff moving, not just in, but moving out, which is important to production ag.